Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Visit Pensacola Saints Coaches Show. I'm Mike Haas, along with Bobby Hebert, also joined by Saints head coach Kellen Moore. Coach, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Well, you betcha, my friend. And you get the game ball, you get the victory, you get the game ball from Alvin. Two things, you know, tell us about that moment when, because when Alvin talks, people stop. They listen. And then, do you have a spot for it? Do you have a spot for the ball already?
It was an awesome win for our team. I think, the resiliency that our guys have had to go through, it's not been the easiest first month to start the season. We've missed four opportunities. And so for our guys to hang in there, I thought was credit to them, and really cool moment. A lot of guys deserve a lot of opportunities and recognition. And it was cool for Alvin. I feel special to be around these guys. It's a really cool group of guys, and I love going to work with these guys every day.
You know, Kellen, before I ask you a question, I appreciate that you're always on time. Sean Payton was never on time. We would do this coaches show, and I'm telling you, is he going to he would call. I think he was playing with us, but I appreciate your punctuality, being on time. And, hey, that's it. You're on time, and I love it. Looking at where you're at, the one thing when you nitpick at something, and I know you addressed this because when you're moving the ball and you're in the red zone, we can't be kicking field goals. Now, it's good if you can kick field goals and you make them, but red zone woes are goal to goal. We can't be 0-for. We were 0-for-3 in the red zone and goal to goal 0-for-2. To me, that has to, you have to be able to finish. I know you know that, but what is kind of maybe the strategy? Because people ask me, why is Coach Moore, why is he calling that? I don't like his play calling in the red zone. What could he do different? You know, one thing that I know in the past, I know it's the most discouraging thing to a defense, because if you're a smart defender, you got like an extra defender, you can tend to squat because you can't get beat deep. But you know what discourages a defense? When sometimes even when they know you're going to run and they can't stop you, you run over them. So I think if we can be very efficient running the ball in the red zone, you know, that's when you really keep a defense off balance.
Yeah, I agree with you. We have to play better in the red zone. I have to call it better and give ourselves a better opportunity. So that's certainly a charge for myself to find the solutions there. I do think, I agree, that running the football down there is an important aspect. Staying on course, we had too many negative plays, whether it be a penalty or a negative run that puts you in, you know, somewhat obvious pass situations. And then those are challenging situations. If you're playing 3rd and 10 from the 10, the percentages aren't good in this league.
Now, Kellen, looking at this, all the fans, we love it. And it's a big part of the NFL, the way we structure chunk plays, splash plays, however you describe it. And I said this earlier in the show, people don't realize the explosiveness of Rashid Shaheed. Obviously, we're in a smaller market. I don't know the nation realizes how good Rashid Shaheed is. I know they know who Tyreek Hill is. I know they know Jamar Chase. But this caught my attention when I was reading this. It was, look, Shaheed's 16th scrimmage play of 40 or more yards since his NFL debut in 2022. And then you look at it, only Miami Dolphins' Tyreek Hill was now hurt, had 18, has accumulated more than Rashid Shaheed. Then you talk about getting touchdowns. Most 40-plus yard touchdowns since 2022. So I'm looking at basically last 3.5 seasons. Tyreek Hill has 12, Jamar Chase has 12, Rashid Shaheed has 11. So the question I have for you, Dan, we need to be throwing him the ball deep at least one or two times every game. Now, I know you got to pick and choose, and that's up to you, the play calling. But the one thing, and I think Spencer realized this, no, and I threw to Mark Super Duper, who played with Dan Marino. He was a world-class sprinter. Just throw the ball. Make him go get it. Don't ever underthrow him. But the fans want at least, now you might complete it, you might not, but pushing the envelope with Rashid Shaheed, because, I mean, he ran 23 miles an hour. But that right there, that's a small fraternity. Tyreek Hill, Ja'Marr Chase, and Rashid Shaheed having those chunk touchdowns of 40-plus yards.
Yep, Rashid's having just so many explosive plays over his history, and you know something we're striving for. We got to create more explosive opportunities for him, and that's our goal.
Yeah, 23 miles an hour, man. He does that on my street. He gets a ticket. He's speeding, right? 23 miles an hour, unbelievable. So, coach, it'll get when you have that many turnovers, especially in a row, can kind of get lost. Your third down percentage. 7 of 15, 47%, 1 for 1 on fourth down. Your third down is the best percentage-wise and number of third downs completed this season, which allows you to stay ahead of the chains. No sacks for Spencer. So those two things go hand in hand. And, again, when you make five turnovers and have those big chunk plays, that can get lost, but that was a key.
Yeah, no question. I think a lot of it goes to putting yourself in favorable third down situations. We converted a lot of them. Now, six of our conversions are in third and six or less, and so when you're in more of those manageable situations, we put ourselves in positive opportunities. And again, protecting the football is critical to our success. Defense did a phenomenal job of creating takeaways, and it was really good complimentary football.
Now, Coach Moore, fans have asked me this too. Some like the new kickoff rule, or some of them don't like it, and, they just don't want change. But I said, it ain't going back. This is how we're doing kick returns and kick coverage. And we had outstanding field position, I thought, overall, in that Bills game, but not so much against the Giants. And the question I have for you, when do we decide that we're running the ball out on kickoffs? What's the strategy? Because, look, they had three times opportunity, one touchback. But I know you don't want to be starting from the 9-yard line, for sure not even the 18, but not the 9-yard line when Velus Jones only went to the 9 and then Kendrick got it to the 18. So what's the strategy with that, with Coach Galliano and how y'all talk, that, it's been a detriment. We cannot start. That's like a punt inside the 10-yard line. So what's the strategy when you're returning kickoffs?
Yeah, I think it's going to come down to our discipline as far as returners. There's a lot of different – what these kickers are doing in our league right now, or they're kicking a lot of different ways with some different, angles, and they're kind of playing maybe – it's almost like a pitcher. You're getting a different pitch every single time you get a kickoff. And so the way you have to navigate this and catch the football when you can and when you can't, make really, really good decisions with when to catch that football or secure it, and create touchback opportunities if the ball gets in the end zone. Because obviously, drive start at the 15-yard line wasn't up to our standard. We missed some opportunities there, and we just didn't play well enough. And so, they play better than us in those situations.
Now, Coach Moore, if you make it, you're doing your job. If you're not making it, then it's the pros. And looking at Blake Groupie, and they'd say, Bobby, is he on the hot seat? I go, well, I know you can't miss kicks. And I say, we do have another kicker on the team, Charlie Smith, then an international pathway program player from Ireland. But I'm looking at Groupie, all of last season, I want to say he missed four kicks. Right now, he's already at five. What have you done for me lately? And he's missed five. So how do you evaluate that? I know you probably won't admit he's on the hot seat, but he can't cost us no damn game because he missed like a 40-yard field goal or something.
Yeah, I think, Blake's missed some opportunities. Obviously, he's going to be the first one who wants to play better. No one feels great about it. But, Blake's got a track record of having a lot of success in this league. And when guys go through these challenging circumstances, our job as a coach is to help them, become the best version of themselves and put them in good situations. And so, Blake's got to make some of these kicks. He's going to get there. I have all the confidence in the world in him. And us collectively have to find the solution that works best so we can proceed moving forward in a really successful manner, way he's done so many other times in this league. And so, it's a great opportunity to respond the right way.
Need to take our first break. Mike Hoss, Bobby Hebert, along with Saints head coach Kellen Moore. This is the Visit Pensacola Saints Coaches Show here on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the Visit Pensacola Saints Coaches Show. Mike Hoss along with Bobby Hebert and Saints head coach Kellen Moore after the Saints beat the Giants and the New England Patriots coming to town this Sunday. Coach, Kool-Aid McKinstry had a couple of big plays in the fourth quarter, one on a fourth down and then another pick right after that. He would probably say that he got picked on a little bit in the Buffalo game. You know, made seven solo tackles, but sometimes as a cornerback, that's not necessarily what you're looking for. But yet, you know, he stayed in the game. He was in that Buffalo game for all but three defensive snaps. You know, it's kind of a learning experience. And then he just answered the bell. I guess just talk about his maturation process. I mean, he's just, again, just five games into his second year.
I think Kool-Aid, good example, and he's still a young player. This is his second year in the NFL. There's a lot of growth opportunities. He's going to get better as we go. You know, his response to the last few weeks, I thought was excellent. You know, even, you know, the tight end makes a big time play in the red zone. They score a touchdown early in this game, and then his ability to respond, you know, I think he's getting better each and every week. I was so fired up for him. Two interceptions. He hadn't had an interception in the NFL yet. He'd been close. Those are big time plays. Those are big time opportunities to make a statement, gain some confidence, gain some swagger. And certainly I think that's what's going to come out of this for Kool-Aid.
You know, Coach Moore, staying on the defensive side of the ball, or the secondary, I should say, boy, what about Terrell Burgess and those instincts? Boy, I love your quote when it said, when you look at Burgess, oh, no, because, you know, like, well, you take one false step or a couple of false steps, it's hard to recover. But he recovered in time to make a play without drawing a penalty for illegally contacting Slayton before the ball arrived. Usually, you know, DBs, they freak out and just go tackle the guy. So I'm not going to give him a touchdown. I'll take the penalty.
Yep.
But when you said, like, awesome, awesome play by Burgess, the ability to recognize it, the ability to not panic in that situation, because so many times – guys just go and run it to the guy, and I think that is so true. And I like what Jordan Howden said, that he got his teammates back. You know, now, Dart, you got to throw it out there. And it was underthrown, but Burgess recovered, made a critical pass breakup, and Jordan Howden says, look, that was actually the play of the game. That saved the touchdown. So I know when that's going down, like, oh, like, whoa. I remember I was watching, and I was like, man, we got tricked. Oh, what a play. And you don't get the penalty? No, that's an unbelievable that's a pro's pro right there to make that type of play.
Yep, Jordan hit it really well. That's the play of the game. They're up one. They have an aggressive call there. They're going to go with the flea flicker and have an opportunity to make an explosive play there. They have every potential opportunity there with how much space was in there. His play was just incredible. Like you said, his patience, his not panic, his ability to compete, get to the location, then identify where the ball's at. It changed the game in so many ways. I think, you know, that was a big time play late in that second quarter.
Now, Coach Moore, what about, you know, all hands on deck and obviously team leaders, having Taysom Hill and Foster Moreau back, and they're going to continue to grow and contribute to the team. But I want you to talk a little bit about having them back, and then fans have asked me, so what does Coach Moore, how does he envision Taysom Hill? Is he truly still the jack of all trades, the Swiss Army knife? Because he could do it all. You know, Coach Moore, you know, he actually changed the outcome of a game at Tampa, he blocked a punt. I'm telling you, in the third quarter, things weren't going well, and he blocked a punt. We won that game. So do you envision Taysom maybe catching touchdowns, throwing touchdowns, running for touchdowns, or special teams, being the up back, and then contributing any way he can? Because if you look at it, he played a number of snaps, though 8 offensive snaps, 6 came as the single caller, as the quarterback. So I know you don't want to show the hand, and I'm getting ready to play the Patriots, but the fans want to hear that, hey, we're going to do whatever it takes and utilize Taysom Hill in a number of different ways.
First with Foster and Taysom, just awesome to have them back. For what they've gone through with the, essentially season-ending injuries, all the rehab, recovery that they had to go through, there's a lot of physical and mental challenges that come with that. Just to see them out there was just, I think, got everyone excited for them to have the opportunity to go out there and do the who dat chant at the beginning of the game. It was a really special moment, I think, for those guys, for our team, for our organization. And it's exciting just because, obviously, we just got them back on Wednesday, and that was the first time they practiced. They were able to play a role for this game. Certainly not to the capacity that they'll be playing as it moves forward. They'll play a lot more. And so I think we're all really excited about building that. We know Taysom's versatility. He can play all over the field. We expect that to happen. That'll certainly happen as we go. And Foster will give us, all the hard downs, the challenging downs in the run game and the pass game that he's always done. So we feel fortunate to be able to start building this thing with those guys in mind as well.
Coach, a couple of quick ones. This is almost going to be a yes or no, but I'm curious. Did you or this team get a call from the league today, almost like, hey, we missed one on Carl Granderson? I don't want you to talk about the officials, but did they reach out?
We have not communicated about any of that.
Yeah. And secondly, just did you happen to have a quiet moment with Spencer? You've been through a lot, 0 for 10, 0 for 11 overall. Without giving away too much, would you tell him?
Yeah, I think you're just so proud of him. Just so proud of his resiliency, the way he's handled every single week that at least I've been a part of. I've only been a part of, this season. So, him and I collectively, we've missed 4 opportunities for him to respond each week, get a little bit better. I thought he played some really good football yesterday. I thought it was awesome.
Take another quick break. Thanks, Coach. And we'll talk more with Saints head coach Kellen Moore, Mike Haas, and Bobby Hebert. This is The Visit, Pensacola Saints Coaches Show, right here on the Saints Radio Network. Welcome back to The Visit, Pensacola Saints Coaches Show. And now moving on, at least briefly, to next week, brought to you by John Fayard Moving and Warehousing First End Service. And got to celebrate a little bit, but then you had Sunday Night Football. And I know you didn't need to get the team's attention, but if you ever had to get the team's attention after this victory, well, just guess what? New England went into Buffalo and did what no one's done since, mid-2023, and that's beat Buffalo in Buffalo. They're now 3-2. They've won both of their road games. Again, you didn't need to get their attention, but that win will do it.
Yeah, no question. They did a really good job. They're a really good football team. They're getting better each week. You can recognize that. They're really well coached. They got some good players, and they're playing as well as anyone right now.
Now, Coach Moore, how about kind of under the radar, Alvin Kamara? We need that 1-2 punch, and I know that's going to be the case between Kendry Miller and Alvin Kamara. Now, I know Alvin wants to average just like Kendry, like 4.1 yards. I was a little disappointed we didn't run the ball better than we did against the Giants, but they've probably been focused on that. But I like it where same balance like you had against the Bills, basically 50-50 run-pass ratio. We had 30 attempts. Now, I'd rather beat it over that century mark. We only averaged 2.9, but at least you were patient enough to have the rushing attempts. But going back to Alvin, and I know you know NFL history, but this caught my attention. And we played the New York Football Giants. He passed Hall of Famer and Giants legend in the record books. Before the first half came to an end, Kamara advanced beyond Tiki Barber. How many people named Tiki? I think NFL, Tiki Barber and the great Marcus Allen, and then with the Raiders on the all-time career receptions record for an NFL running back. Now he entered the game with 586 receptions and a tie with Barber for the fifth place in the NFL record book of our running backs. And he finished with 4 for 28, moving past Hall of Famer Marcus Allen, who's at 587. I think he's have a great chance to catch LaDainian and Thomas at number 3 overall, which he needs about 35 more. So a lot of times there's a running back, but it's this day and age. But those are old-school running backs when you look at Tiki Barber, Marcus Allen. But it's not just running the football. How important it is, not only do you have to know protection, but being involved in the passing game as a pass-receiving running back.
Yeah, that's what's made Alvin so special for so many years, his ability to play in all three phases. He runs the football really well. His pass game is as good as anyone out of the backfield ever. His ability to handle the pass protection allows him to be in there in third downs and handle those different looks. Again, I thought, you know, he had some opportunities in that game. I wish collectively we ran the ball better. I got to help those guys out in that situation. We kind of got into some, you know, with the turnovers, we kind of got into some run-it-run mentality towards the end of the game, trying to play the clock management game. And so we probably need to find a way to get a little better run game going, you know, in that fourth quarter to steal some more positive yards. But again, I thought Alvin did another really good job out there.
For what was outstanding, this continues, this winning football, and I know you know that. And Hoss, I brought up earlier, third downs. I mean, I know if you've given up like 3 of 10 or low 30% on defense, that's winning football. And if you're hovering around 50%, we're 7 of 15. I said that's outstanding. That's overall winning football. And then, again, the first three games, we average over 10 penalties a game. And, again, back-to-back games, when you look at penalties and the parity in the NFL, I remember this is kind of old school with Coach Moore. I might have told you this before, Coach Moore. 9 penalties or more are 100 yards like giving up a touchdown. People don't realize that. Well, look at the Giants. They had 8 penalties and 95 yards. So, again, we won that battle. And, again, I think with the Patriots coming to town on Sunday, we got to win that battle again with the penalties.
Yeah, New England's doing an excellent job. They're playing really clean football. They're protecting the football. They're not hurting themselves. I think that's certainly been very valuable to their formula, and they've done an excellent job. Again, we're getting better there. There's still some controlled penalties that obviously we need to knock out from a pre-snap perspective. There's going to be judgment ones that happen in the middle of the game that, you know, whatever happens, it is what it is, and hopefully those can balance themselves out as you go. But again, I think we're getting better in the situational football stuff. I was really proud of the defense to go 3 for 10 there, offense to take a step in the positive direction. And so we just need to continue to build.
And, Coach, it felt like, and, you know, correct me, but it felt like the tackling was better, and that when it is, it enables, you know, a DeMario Davis and a Brian Brazee. Then you could punch at the ball because you're swarming to it, and you got more people there. Just kind of talk about the tackling and the ability that leads to create turnovers.
Yeah, in our team meeting today, I thought there were some really good examples of space tackling. The way they're going to play on offense, they're going to throw some perimeter screens, some perimeter touch plays, where there's going to be guys one-on-one out in space with the ball carrier. And I thought Jonas, Alante, DeMario, bunch of guys. Kool-Aid had a tackle out there in space on a catch, a bunch of space tackles. And then in the run game, I thought we did a really good job of kind of packing it in there, getting a lot of guys onto the football, and then it allowed that second, third guy in to go attack the football, and we made a couple plays because of it.
Well, Coach, you know, hey, I guess it was also your first club dub. What'd you think?
We love it. We need some more of those.
Are they going to let you pick some music or no?
That is not going to be my avenue.
Coach, you got a taste of what that special building can feel like. You know, yesterday, continued success, great win, and get that club dub rolling again for New England. Thanks.
Awesome. Appreciate you. Thanks.
Let's pause 10 seconds to let stations identify themselves here on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. When we come back on the Visit Pensacola Saints Coaches Show, he wins the Good Timing Award. Defensive coordinator Brandon Staley, he is our guest tonight after 5 defensive turnovers yesterday. That is coming up next here on the Saints Coaches Show, here on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, Mike Haas, along with Bobby Hebert. And now we are joined by Saints defensive coordinator Brandon Staley. And I kind of teased going into break that he wins the good timing award because Saints get five turnovers. By the way, these coaches are all picked weeks ago. Brandon Staley was going to be our assistant coach tonight, irrespective of the day yesterday. That being said, still pretty cool. Coach Staley, welcome to the show.
Guys, thanks for having me.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it was a kind of rough out of the gate, touchdown, especially the way it kind of happened. But then if I'd have just showed you the game drive book and said, after that, you're going to go punt, fumble, interception, turnover on downs. I don't think I've ever seen anything like that.
Yeah, guys, definitely a tale of they ended those last three quarters versus the first one. But our guys came to play. I think even on that first drive, I mean, that third down penalty was kind of a killer because we got, a really good stop there at the beginning. But our guys really have hung tough the last 2 weeks after, kind of a slow start. I think it says a lot about the group and just staying poised and then having our best at the end. And I thought that the way that we finished both halves also was a real highlight for us.
Now, Coach Staley, speaking of the group, how about your young DBs playing and stepping up? All of a sudden, next man out. Reed goes out with a concussion. Okay, Jordan Howden, Sank and all. Y'all some young cats. Y'all got to go in there. You got to make something happen. You look at Kool-Aid. He earned his name yesterday with two picks. He became Kool-Aid McKinstry, not sugar water like the fans would say. No, it's Kool-Aid McKinstry. But talk about the young DBs and the confidence and the swag they were playing with, because I think that's going to be huge going forward. And now you got a young guy like Alante Taylor is like the seasoned alpha dog veteran.
Yeah, I thought we got premium playmaking yesterday, guys, from that entire group. And I think to do it without Justin, as you guys mentioned, I think was really critical for our guys and a big confidence booster because, he's such a steady, force back there at safety and such a commander. But to see that safety group really come alive and really that's how they played all through training camp. And, I told Mickey and Jeff and our group here that this was as deep of a safety group as I've been a part of in the NFL. So I think you've seen the quality of Terrell and Jordan and then, Jonas has come in and, and then that young group of corners, like you guys mentioned, I mean, I think the playmaking from Quincy and Kool-Aid, and then, if you really look at the game, I mean, Alante's tackling and the way that he was covering 17 and setting the force on the perimeter in the RPO game, I thought he was, one of our best players yesterday. So, a really good step for that group. And, again, great to see him, out there playing fearless, no hesitation, going for it, just a really quality game for that whole group.
Now, Coach Staley, when you're trying to influence the opposing quarterback and getting pressure on the quarterback, ultimately you want to get sacks with quarterback pressures, making the quarterback get off platform and not feel comfortable. So where are we at right now? Because I thought, we've had some sacks, but sometimes, man, we got to get more pressure on the quarterback. And I could tell you, playing the position in the NFL, I used to hate when they were rushing four and it felt like a damn blitz, like the ball got to come out. And where are we at right now? Because it seems like when you dialed up stunts and you're trying to confuse the protection or a blitz, we've been able to finish at the quarterback. But at times with a four-man rush, not necessarily so. I'd always say, man, you can't let the quarterback back there and make a sandwich. We got to get after it. I know Drake May, the level and the confidence he's playing with right now, we have to influence him. Come this upcoming Sunday. But what is the strategy? How do you mix up? Because you can't just fans think, oh, just blitz all the time or have a dog, send a dog, let's send five or more, whatever. No, then you get exploited. You're putting defenders on an island. But isn't that the ultimate pass rush without having to scheme if you can rush four and get after the quarterback?
Yeah, you said it, man. I mean, you defined it. You said exactly what I would say, which is, you know, we got to strike the right balance of rushing four and bringing pressure. And then when we do pressure, you know, what coverage are we playing in behind it that's going to buy us a count for that five-man rush to come alive? And, you know, I think that, you know, we've done a good job of that, especially these last 2 weeks. You know, I think the way that we played against Allen up there in Buffalo was a really quality performance by us. And, you know, they're one of the top third down teams in the league. And, you know, for us to go up there and get three sacks and, you know, really play really well on third down. And, you know, I mean, he had 190, I think, passing for the game, and 44 of it came on a bubble screen. So, you know, I just think that we were still, I think, finding that best plan. And, you know, certainly, you know, I think our guys are doing a good job rushing. I think the guys that, you know, have really, you know, shown their stuff, you know, Carl and Brian Brzee and Cam, you know, I think those guys have had quality rushes throughout, you know, the first five games. But as you mentioned, I mean, the best way is to rush four guys and play premium coverage in behind it. Make sure you're mixing it up with those seven guys in coverages, whether you're playing man-to-man, pattern match, or zone, which is what we love to do. But again, when you're playing against these mobile guys, like you mentioned, the guys that are you know, like the guy we're going to play this week or like a Josh Allen, it's going to be hard to keep them consistently in there with a four-man rush. So when we do add a fifth guy, we got to make sure that that coverage in behind it is sound. And, you know, guys, I've liked the way that we've defended in the passing game. So, you know, we got to continue to strike that right balance. And as you mentioned, we can't have enough pressure on the quarterback. So we're going to try and keep that going as we move forward.
Coach, earlier in the show, we talked with Coach Moore about the play by Terrell Burgess and the flea flicker, just phenomenal. And I was curious about your thoughts about, here's a kid who won the Super Bowl in 21 with the Rams. He was a third-round pick, but then had injuries. He's with the Giants. He's with Washington. He's with Buffalo. He's out of football in 2024 totally when he could have signed. So he comes to your camp, mini camp in May, really – I mean, he's on his last leg, right? I need a second chance. And what did you guys see in him that you felt, you know, he's got a lot more to give?
Well, guys, I was with this guy when we drafted him with the Rams. I was the defensive coordinator.
Right, exactly.
And he started for us in dime, you know, on the number one defense in the NFL that year. And if I showed you his clips, you know, all of his plays from his first year, I mean, you know, I got him playing man-to-man versus George Kittle in dime and playing him as well as anybody in the NFL. And I really felt like this guy's future was going to be huge, you know, for that team. And then he got hurt, you know, on a fluke thing, fluke injury. You know, and then obviously I moved forward. I went to the Chargers. But, you know, I just think sometimes it happens in the NFL where injuries, timing, coaching – sometimes the stars don't quite line up, and, you know, this was just a great opportunity for us here. And just, I give Mickey and Jeff and Mike Parenton and Kellen so much credit because, you know, they were willing to take a chance on this guy. And I think Terrell's shown his quality throughout training camp. And, you know, that play is a play that I've seen him make, you know, since he was a rookie. You know, you guys are just kind of seeing it for the first time, but, you know, I really believe in him as a player, as a person, you know. And I think, you know, that's such an instinctive play. And as you guys know, that's a lonely place to be, you know, for a secondary guy where you're trying to catch up and, you know, you're striking that right balance of playing the ball, playing the man. You don't want to foul because you know what's at stake. And, I mean, it had to have been the play of the game for us on defense. I know the takeaways were the story, but you talk about a save-a-life defensive play where that dude is, you know, saved an entire play and really the momentum for the game, because what it did was when he makes that big play, now the stadium erupts and now, you know, we're rolling. We just got a big third and one stop. So, you know, just an impressive, impressive game for him and that whole group that came in for Justin.
Now, Coach Staley, I'm still trying to get an explanation. I think all the fans, all the fans around the NFL trying to get an explanation. How do you coach a player? I mean, what did Carl Granison do wrong? What you just got to, like, Tulane touch the quarterback? I mean, if that would be against Spencer Rattler, that's the, you can't call that. I mean, okay, you can't hit him too high, you can't hit him too low, you can't land on him. You can see Carl Granderson trying to avoid him. How do you coach that up? What do you tell him in the film? Just do the same thing and hopefully Alan Eck is not maybe refereeing or something? Or you cannot make that call. I don't care what team. I mean, is that fair or what? I mean,
Yeah, you just said it all, and the fans in New Orleans saw it all, and everybody around the country saw it. So I would say trust what you see, fellas. And, you know, based on my short experience here in the state of Louisiana, there's more contact at the Friday night 7-on-7 flag league, you know, at some of the games my boys are playing. So Carl just needs to keep doing what he's doing. He's having a hell of a season. That was a hell of a play by him. And, you know, but sometimes, you know, you got to sudden change it. We got to keep it moving. I hate it for Carl because he's having such a big year, and that's such a, you know, I mean, these sacks are big, as you guys know. I mean, they're impactful plays, and then for these guys' career. But, hey, we all know Grando is you know, having a spectacular season, seriously. And, you know, the next time we'll hope for better luck, you know, from the outcome.
Now, how has it been for you, Coach Daly, you know, here you coach in the NFL, you coach in pros, but then there's young pros and there's old wily veterans. How's your relationship been? It seems like y'all would fit like a glove. That being double D, DeMario Davis and Cam Jordan, which you could still see both of them contributing at a high level, even though they're up in age.
Yeah, those guys, I mean, from the minute I got hired, fellas, I mean, I can remember our first conversation. They were in Africa, you know, with their wives on a trip, and you know, they took time out of their trip to visit with me and, you know, got to know each other and, you know, kind of set the course for, you know, when we finally got back together here in New Orleans and got going. But they've just been such important parts for me, for Kellen, for our entire staff of what it should look like to be a pro. And you guys know better than I do the impact these guys have on this team, on this city. You know, and I've just been fortunate to team up with them. And, you know, I think they're both, you know, playing at an extremely high level. It's been really fun to be a part of their journey, having so much respect from them from afar, guys. You know, before I even came here, it's been really cool to be up close to it. And, you know, they're definitely leading the way. And when you got guys that are going to be Hall of Fame, Ring of Honor type players, some of the very best to ever do it, you know, it's such a cool thing as a coach to have that type of partnership. And, you know, as you guys are seeing, because you guys have seen them even longer than I have, you know, they're still playing at a high level.
Well, Coach, they say those turnovers come in bunches, just like we hope they do, just like the wins. I saw you and I talked earlier. I saw you back when you were the defensive coordinator at James Madison in 2014.
Yeah,
so, and
right.
Just nothing like winning in the Superdome, and best of luck against New England.
Guys, thanks so much for having me.
Brandon Staley, Saints defensive coordinator. Bobby, as always, my friend, you were awesome.
Well, we got to get two in a row, Hoss. To get to two, you got to win one. Well, we won one. Now beat the Patriots on Sunday.
There you go. It's simple math, Bobby. It's simple math sometimes.
Yep.
Thank you. Take a break. Come back, and we'll talk with Mike Dettillier. We're back after this. It's the Visit Pensacola Saints Coaches Show right here on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Welcome back. It is the Visit Pensacola Saints Coaches Show right here on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Back out to the Silver Slipper Casino in Hancock County, Mississippi, where Mike Dettillier, college and football analyst, resides with us. And we're going to talk, we'll talk about it first. Let's get Monday night. So Kansas City 2-2 against Jacksonville 3-1. We're going to find out a lot more about, is Jacksonville for real? And if they are for real, and Kansas City falls to 2-3, and along with like Baltimore at 1-4, man, I'm curious as to who's real and who's not real thus far.
Put it to you this way: from what I've seen, Jacksonville, you know, and they playing at home, and they do kind of bend but don't break on the defensive side, the football. Man, Hoss, they got some talent on both sides of that football, on both offense and defense. They've had a lot of early round picks they've used on the defensive side, the football. I think Leon Cohen, we saw what he did. Everybody thought Baker Mayfield would fall off the cliff after Canales took the job in Carolina. But last year, he was every bit as good as he was the year before. And I think he's done a really good job with Trevor Lawrence. Boy, he's got some receiving talent with Brian Thomas Jr. and Travis Hunter. They got some talent there. I think they're going to give Kansas City everything they want tonight. I do think the Chiefs will be able to move the football on them. But, man, once they get like at about the 25, 30-yard line, almost like they put the gates down. They do a really good job of forcing you to kick field goals and you not getting sevens on the board. So, interesting night. And was last Sunday all about the Chiefs or just how bad the Ravens were? Because they ravaged with injuries.
Yeah. Well, you know, and so was the team with nine lives, Tampa Bay, right? They couldn't even practice on Wednesday. They had to do a walkthrough, and then they go to Seattle, and Mayfield drives them down to tie it. Sam Darnold plays this great game, and then they get to where he's going to go down and possibly get the game-winning field goal and throws a pick. And Tampa, as beat up as they were, they go into Seattle and put 38 on the board. So, man, you know, you can't give them the ball. You cannot give them the ball at the end of the game. You just can't.
You talked about the two quarterbacks squaring off, and Darnold made that one bad throw. But those guys, the ball rarely touched the ground in that game between the two of them, of how they were carving each other's secondary up. But Baker, listen, got to give him credit. Man, he's a gamer. You understand with everything on the line, he has got some moxie about him. And when they play at home and they get that chant up late of Baker, 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 man, it's loud in there. And he gets you on your heels. And they did it without Bucky Irving at running back. People forget
the
Bucks run the ball well. And, you know, Rashad White steps in. And it was like, okay, we got it. Got to give him a lot of credit. And Jason Light does a great job with Tampa Bay retooling that team. It's a very young football team. And they got some talent there.
And Atlanta was off, so they remain 2-2. Carolina gets the win. Rico Dowdle, in the first four games of the year, had 31 rushes for 83 yards. Yesterday, week five against Miami, 23 rushes, 206 yards, one touchdown. You start getting that kind of You're that effective running the ball in the NFL. Your team's got a better chance than not of winning that football game.
I'll tell Bobby during second guess. A text, Jen Hale and I were texting. She did the game yesterday, and she was like, Bryce Young was just awful in the first half. But Dave Canales at halftime said, you know what? We running the ball. And she said, all of a sudden, it was 10-yard run, 14-yard run, 12-yard run, 8-yard run. And Rico just chewed it up. And their offensive line, Mike, you got to say, that's a strength for the Panthers. The way they run block, they do a really good job there. They have a real young receiving core. But Rico, you know, he rushed for over 1,000 yards last year with the Cowboys. But he certainly was the player yesterday. And you just wonder how much Mike McDonald got left at Miami. It is not working out well there. But, you know, for Carolina to win that game, after such a bad first half, it goes to show in this league that it is a league of quarters and halves. You know, where you see a team have a really bad half and they come back in the second half. Who would have thought the Titans could win yesterday?
Yeah.
Arizona was blowing them out the park and got a strange set of events where the running back, he drops the ball. You know, he thinks he scored and drops it before. And then that crazy fumble at the end that ended up being a touchdown for Tennessee.
And a much different New England team that comes to town. The Saints have been up there, you know, most recently, last few times, and kind of had their way. But, man, this is a team with Mike Vrabel. Man, it's a whole new culture, right? I mean, it's just, you know, you go – they did yesterday what the Saints couldn't do the week before, which is going to Buffalo, which nobody does, and beats the Bills. They're 2-0 on the road, 1-2 at home, but man, this is not your daddy's. Well, I shouldn't say that. I would say it's not your daddy's New England Patriots. That's Belichick. But I mean, this is a different team.
Yeah, it isn't your kid's Patriots,
right?
That maybe
yeah.
you've seen the yeah. last couple of years. One thing with Mike and doing stuff with the Titans is that it's always going to be about pressure. He likes to what I would call stimulate pressure. He likes to bring it different ways and to affect the quarterback. But he is all about playing the run, stopping the run. If you saw last night, They did a real solid job not let James Cook take over that game.
Yeah.
Here's the crazy thing, Mike. And it changes week to week. But on a 53-man roster, they got 26 new faces on the Patriots. He built this the way he wanted to, where they were going to play tough against the run. They were going to get pressure. But he got one thing he never had in Tennessee. Drake May talent at quarterback. Come on, you were winning with Ryan Tannehill? No, you were winning with Derrick Henry. Running the football, and you were opportunistic on defense, and they were great. I don't know. I think it was 3 out of 4 years. They led the NFL in 3 and outs. So you setting up, you know, your offense on the short field with Henry. He was in his prime back then. He's still a tremendous player. But this is built in Rabel's image, but he got a guy now playing quarterback. He ain't never had nothing close to this talent-wise with Drake May.
No way. Completion percentage yesterday was 73%. And you go, oh, my, that's great. That was almost the lowest he's had all year, 82, 82, 75. So, yeah, the Saints will have their hands full. Thank you, as always, my friend.
Thank you, brother.
Mike Dettillier, thanks to you, Bobby Hebert, Kellen Moore, and Brandon Staley. Charlie Long in the booth. We'll see you next week after the Saints. And it's a noon game now. New England Patriots come to Caesars Superdome. Have a great night. Thanks for listening to the Visit Pensacola Saints Coaches Show on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.